Man, as I keep thinking about this journey, I can't tell you enough how important the foundation in our relationship with Christ is. I'm going to be challenging tonight as a family leader to step up and lead your family to make Christ first in your home. That will never happen unless He's first in what? Your life. What happens in your home will be what's important to you. All these things, all these disciplines that we've been covering, keep going back to one thing. My love for God. And that's reflected in my time in God's Word. And the struggle of passivity is the battle between fearing man or God. If God's big, then who is man? How does God become big? We're people that are in His Word. I hope, man, that you're beginning to really discover that God wants to speak to you through that Word and that He's begun to reveal Himself to you. But I want to remind you, because it's real easy just to go through the motions. The way you enjoy your Word is, first of all, by being in right relationship with God. Second of all, it is a spirit book. And you need the Holy Spirit to understand the spirit book. Pray and ask God to open your eyes. And three, you don't just need to read your Bible. You need to what? Meditate. Ask questions. How does this apply to me? What can I learn from this Bible character? So I hope you're doing well on the journey. Just wanted to encourage you. Let's open in prayer. Father, tonight we're thankful that we can use this word family because we're in the family of God. And you, in your wisdom, designed the family to accomplish great things for the sake of your name. So Lord, tonight, in the hearts of all these men and myself, I pray that we'll continue to grasp and use every opportunity within our homes, within our family, to advance the mighty kingdom of God. Help us men to lead, and help us as men to cast that vision before our children and our wives. We commit this session to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I think of a Bible character tonight when I start out. Something about this king that was a man that really loved God. He was the only man that lived that knew how long he had to live. It was Hezekiah. Could you imagine if I told you tonight, man, you got 12 years, you got 5, you got 20, you got 50. The only guy that knew how long he had to live was Hezekiah, and God said, you will have 15 years. Hezekiah was a godly man that when the whole city of Jerusalem was surrounded with a huge army, he called out for God to help and God delivered him. And he said, what will happen to the children, the future of God's people, if we are delivered? After God healed Hezekiah, a prophet came to him and said, your sons are going to be carried away captive. All the things in this temple are going to be carried away. And Hezekiah asked this question, when will it happen? The answer, not in your lifetime. And Hezekiah said these words, what you've spoken is good. Hezekiah lost his passion for the future generations. You know what happened in the next 15 years? He had a son, Manasseh, who became king at 12. And he was the most ungodly king that ever reigned in the history of Israel. In fact, he reigned for 55 years. I ask myself this question, what if Hezekiah in the last 15 years of his life would have taught and trained his child in the ways of God? What would have changed in the history of Israel? You know, we're going to continue tonight with talking about what it means to be an effective parent. And there is no way that you can cover in one session tips, ideas about what God's Word says. I like what Lord Rochester said. He said this, before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. I come to you tonight and say, I don't want to really give theories because Dr. Spock's theories didn't work because they weren't biblically based. But what I want to share with you, what I've discovered with our family, what I've discovered by watching other families, there are biblical principles. If we will use them, they work. And I want to share some of those principles with you tonight, hoping it'll help you in this duty, in this task to raise up a generation that's going to fear God, that's going to love God, that's going to serve God. And most of all, we as fathers demonstrate that in our life. First of all, I think it's really important as parents that you work together, and the only way you can work together is communicating. I talk about having couch time, going on walks with my wife. I can tell you through the years, the number one topic that Kathy and I talked about more frequently than anything else is, how are our children doing spiritually? How are we doing together in raising and training and shaping our children? Always evaluating, communicating what we see God doing in our family. The other key in communication that I really see, it's a tremendous battle in marriage, is mom is parenting this way and dad is parenting this way, and it doesn't work. The two of you got to get on the same page. So part of the communication process is to help get you on the page. That's why your homework last week was you as a man. What are your core values? What are the things you want to teach your children? That helps the two of you get on the same page. When Johnny breaks a lamp in the living room and you go in there and said, who does it or who did it? And they both point at each other. Susie points at Johnny. Johnny points at Susie. And you go, well, what can I do? Let's go eat. No, if a core value in your family is integrity, you don't go eat. You leave Johnny and Susie in there until you find out what really happened. So that assignment that we gave you is to help you as a father say, what are our core values, the main things that we want to teach our children? It gets you and your wife on the same page. It's an effective tool. The other thing that I really believe when it comes to parenting, I always observe families. There's times when you don't agree together. You can't go on and just act like there's not a problem. The two of you need to come to agreement. And I really suggest that you find a couple that you really respect. And you see the fruit of that couple. And you see their children. And you go, you know what? We need help. We're not in agreement. We're going to go to this couple. We're going to seek their counsel. Whatever they share with us, that's what we'll do. The other thing that Kathy and I did, we took a parenting class. I believe that parenting is one of the most important things you do. A parenting class will get you on the same page and help you with a lot of principles. I highly recommend growing kids God's way. There were a lot of biblical tools that Kathy and I learned from that class. We still use. And it's a great tool to help parents. What is the main plan that Kathy and I had for our children? The main plan that you should have, I believe, without a question, is this. The number one thing we want to teach our children is the fear of God, and we want to put the Word of God into their hearts. The greatest tool we have to raise our children is God's Word. That is center in our training, is what the Bible says and what God says. And I think as parents, you can refer, instead of saying, this is our standard, you can use phrases like, this is what God's Word says. This is important to God. So they see that your priority is pleasing God. And God's Word must be first. You know, I think another thing that we do in ministry, we do with parenting, we do a lot of things. We're always shooting, trying to do a lot of things, and we never do anything well. I think as a parent, when you look at your core values, if I came up to you tonight and said, hey, tell me, what are the three most important things you want your son or daughter to be? And if you could get your son or daughter to do those three things, I really believe you'd be satisfied as a parent. Could you identify those tonight? That's part of this whole process, evaluating and identifying what is a priority for my name, for the name of Christ. What is important that I teach my children? If my children learn nothing else, I want them to learn this. I remember the first thing that caused me to think about that, sitting in a Sunday school class, and all these people were talking about things that they wanted their children to learn and do. And not one person mentioned the word work. And that was a core value in my life. And it's in my mission statement. It's the measurement of an Altmaier. My children will understand and know the value of work. And I believe in life, people that know how to work are going to make it. That would be one of my top three.
Another one would be, I'm going to teach my children the fear of God. They are going to learn to fear God. Now, how do I do that? That's the next process in this journey. Two, the curriculum that Kathy and I used is the Word, but we wanted to parent out of faith, not fear. Perfect love cast out fear. What we found that was really interesting growing up, you know where most of the fear was implanted into us? It came from people in the church. If I obey God's Word, there's no reason to fear the outcome. Let me share how this started. First of all, having little children, they would say, how old are your kids? And they were pretty well behaved. And they'd say, oh, you haven't reached the terrible twos yet. I can tell you I had five children. We never experienced the terrible twos because we set boundaries in our house and our kids didn't get their way because it is in the stage at 2 years old where a child begins to test their parents. So we never experienced the terrible twos. And then the next thing that we heard all the time, you know, our kids are doing really well. And they said, well, they're not teenagers yet. Don't you know that a teenager rebels against God and kind of distances themselves from a parent? No, they don't. I don't find that in God's Word. And I stand before you today and tell you that we didn't have any children that have rebelled because that's not God's plan. We didn't parent that way. And I believe when we apply the principles of God's Word and we parent in faith, we make decisions based on God's Word. A lot of people place their children in arenas out of fear, not faith. We chose to put our children in a Christian school. Why? It reaffirmed our faith. We didn't put them there so they wouldn't fall away to the world. We didn't do it for fear. It was part of a plan. Parenting out of faith, not fear, is a key principle. The other thing I want to talk about, a key principle tonight, my wife was far better at this than me. That is called being proactive. I don't know about you, but we are very reactive. We're always dealing with crisis instead of trying to do something to prevent it. The church today is reacting to all these divorces, broken families, and I ask the churches today, what are you doing to prevent it? It's better to be proactive and not have the problems than to wait until you got all these problems and then start this ministry and this ministry and this ministry. You know what Kathy did? We're coming over to your place. Before we ever got out of the car, she'd sit in the car and say, we're going over to so-and-so's. This is what I want you to do. When they talk to you, look to them in the eyes. Say, Mr. and Mrs. Whatever they put on the plate, you eat. Don't get out the toys. Don't run in the house. How many of us, we get in the house and our kids are doing all these things and we're reacting? It's called being proactive. I tell you today, I have a 24-year-old, a 22-year-old, a 19, a 17, and a 15. It might shock a lot of people that my 24-year-old has not even dated a girl, has not even really begun to look for a girl. Why? We've been very proactive about laying a foundation for the way that we're going to go into marriage and how God views it, that he shouldn't even be considering that when he can't even afford a woman. So he just graduated from college and he's got his job and he's saying, I'm ready to look. All of our children know that they're not going to bring someone home to our family and say, this is the one. We've talked about that process. And I believe that we can't have an impact on who our children choose for marriage if we haven't had an impact at a young age on who they choose for friends and haven't been involved in their life. I believe that my wife was a master at being proactive, and it has caused a lot of things that people go through in parenting not to have happen in our family just because she had the ability to look ahead. And as men, we need to do that. Another thing that we do often is just evaluate. I find this in CTL, in the ministry, as a husband, as a father, as a parent. I'm always stopping and saying, time out, how am I doing? It's amazing how many of us just get in a routine and maybe something worked for a while and we forget that maybe they're getting bigger, something needs to change, and we don't evaluate. I made a commitment to Kathy when we got married. Every year on our anniversary, we'll get away and we will evaluate our marriage, our relationship. We'll evaluate where our family is, what we feel God calling us to do. We'll stop and evaluate. We stop and evaluate all the time our children.
why is that child acting that way? What is the character quality that that child doesn't have that the rest of our family does? What do we need to work on with this child? Those are the conversations, but it starts by making an evaluation. That evaluation is looking at the character. Is Christ's character being reflected? And in that evaluation, you know what the toughest part was? Often in that evaluation, the person I needed to look at, my child was demonstrating something that I was failing to do as the leader of my home. And that was the painful part. Where did they learn that? Dad. I talk to a lot of parents, and I really think a lot of times parents are, especially men, we're clueless to really where our children are. That's the strength of a mother. They have entered into their life with their children. They understand their heart more. They know them more. As dads, sometimes we're clueless. Men, tonight I want to give you a couple ideas on how you can know what's going on in your child's life. You need to look for signs of what your child is saying and doing. A lot of men wake up and go, man, my child was involved in this. They got involved in this. When did that happen? What happened? And here are a couple things. First of all, I really believe that the eye is the lamp of the body. You ever notice when you talk to people, well, they can't look at you? If you're addressing a problem or an issue, right away their body language and their eye tells you, uh-oh, I hit a soft spot. I'm hitting something here. When a man has a clear conscience, a man can look you in the eyes. When your children can't look you in the eyes, Dad, something's going on. Study their eyes. And when you ask them things, look into their eyes. It reveals a lot. Second thing that I think is a tremendous revelation is when your children have the freedom and begin to choose friends, they will choose friends that reflect who they are. I can come in here and tell you who I am. You want to know who I am? Go find out who my three closest friends are. That's who Steve Altmaier is. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what they're really like is shown in the friends they choose. I was in Christian education for years. Parents would say, my child, the big mistake he made, he started running around with Ryan, and old Ryan just messed him up. The reason he chose to run around with Ryan is because he was just like Ryan. It wasn't Ryan. You want to see where your children are? Look at their friends. It's a great nugget. The other thing is, as we kept doing this and focused on character, we really found out that there were character traits that we needed to instill, and that was the focus. And then when we even went to discipline them, what was the overall character? Is this the first time my child has lied? Is this the first time they haven't instantly obeyed? Is this characteristic of this child? It made a difference whether it was a character problem or a freak incident. Was it common? And we really focused on character qualities. Effective parents walk the talk and model the standard. You know, people used to say, your dad and mom raised five boys. They all love the Lord. What is the key? I would say it over and over again. Dad and mom lived it. The two tongues in their shoes spoke louder than the one in their mouth. They never asked us to do something that they didn't do. When I think of this, I'm telling you something, man. We need to take seriously how we raise our children because the way our children view us is their concept of God so often. Anybody in ministry knows that when a son has not had a healthy relationship with his father, it's been a hindrance to their spiritual walk. Now, I want to tell you tonight a principle that I feel is absolutely key for you to teach your children about God. If you're going to model Christianity, you must do this. You must say what you mean and mean what you say. You must say what you mean and mean what you say. If you're a threatening parent, if you never follow through with your word, guess what that produces in the life of your son? A son who opens the Bible and doesn't really believe God means it. I'll never forget, as a principal of a school, an athletic director, taking over a job, and it was a mess. The kids weren't turning their uniforms in. They thought they were theirs. And I said, you know, we're going to take some responsibility here. I'm not giving the coach his paycheck until he's getting three during the season, one at the beginning, one in the middle, and he gets the last one when he's turned in his inventory and we've sat down and had an evaluation. Coach comes to me and says, I can't get my check. I got two guys that still got their uniform. I call the two senior boys down and I say, you know, we got a coach waiting for his paycheck and you guys need to bring your uniform in. They're the schools.
I said, I don't want you to come to school tomorrow unless you have that uniform. Do you understand?
Yes.
Next morning, I walk in my office. There's no uniforms on there. First period start. I ask the secretary, are these boys in school? Yeah. Would you go get them? I don't know about you, but when I went to the principal in my day, whatever he said, that wasn't a rare thing. I looked at the boys and said, where's your uniforms? They said, at home. I said, what are you doing here? Came to school. I said, go home. I'll tell you how it happened. They had principals. They had coaches. They had parents that continued to say something but never did it. And I see the results of that when people read the Bible. I don't think God meant that. Say what you mean and mean what you say. It is important to God. It is important to teach our children. You know, another thing I want to just talk about raising kids is the standard in your home remains the same. We never changed the standard because they had boys or girls or ages. The standard stays the same. But each child is different, and the strategy to reach that child's heart might change. I raise my voice, and that gets it done with one of my daughters. Where that old paddle is what it took for one of my boys. I had to learn my children. Man, we talk about understanding our wives. We must understand our children. Do you know your children's love language? You can give rules, but rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Dad, we're really good sometimes at laying down the law. This is the way it's going to be. We don't have our child's heart. We don't have a relationship. And it's amazing. The child in your family that you're struggling with, that's not doing what you want, the tendency is to withdraw from them and spend time with those children that are doing what's right, but you really need to work on a relationship. He or she is the one you need to develop the relationship, because it ain't working with just rules. So when it gets tough, what you say is, I got to get back and get a relationship here. And relationship is really important. I mentioned this last week too. Men, I think a lot of times we just let too many other people raise our children. And we don't prayerfully consider the instruction that they're receiving from others or the people that we place them under. But man, if you have your children in an environment that is teaching them things contrary to the Word of God, you need to know that as a father. And you need to have a plan that will counter the things that are countering your parent philosophy. As much as possible, why would you put anything in front of your children that is teaching them to do something opposite of God's Word and your ways? So really ask the Lord to show you, what are things that I am choosing to do, people I might put my children under, and it's not going to bring about this legacy, the end result that I want. Kathy and I just tell you, we were really guarded with what activities our children were involved in and who taught our children. Another thing that we need to do is, and it's a joy as a parent, what do? You get to see the fruit of your labor. And that's the reward. And the fruit will be your legacy. And they talked to people that were really old and said, if you could live life over, what pearls of wisdom would you give this young generation? Three things. One, we would slow down and reflect on life more. Men, I'm hoping that this journey is causing you to slow down and really look what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband, that you only get one chance. Slow down and reflect on life more. Slow down and enjoy the birthday party. Don't worry about how the presents are wrapped and whether this or that item. Slow down and reflect on life more. Two, they'd take more risk. For the older generation, they didn't leave their towns. They didn't take any risk in life. And they look back and go, I wish I'd have taken more risk. I wish I would have jumped on that motorcycle. You know, I wish I would have done that. But the last one I really like, they said this, we would do things that outlive us. Here they are, about ready to go. And they realize that they haven't invested in the most important things, things that outlive you. Can I tell you, men, I've chosen to do a lot of things in my life, but the greatest thing that's going to outlive me is my family and my children and the legacy that I place in their heart. I want to plant some seeds tonight on what that legacy looks like and that this investment will pay off and you'll see fruit. Consider this. William Booth, founder of Salvation Army, had 8 children, 45 grandchildren, all of who went to various places in the world as missionaries. Wow, what an impact. Jonathan Edwards had 10 children. After 5 generations, he had 729 descendants, 300 preachers, 65 college professors, 13 university presidents, 60 authors, 3 congressmen, and 1 vice president. Look at Max Duke, 1,026 descendants. 300 died due to hard life. 140 spent an average of 13 years in the prison. 190 became public prostitutes. 100 were alcoholics. It cost the state of New York $1.2 million to care for his family. I tell you that our crisis in America today with our debt is directly related to the family, which is directly related to men failing to be what God has called us to be. If we could just put the family back in order as God intended, we would have no national debt. None. Our social programs cost millions of dollars. Divorce, prisons. 90% of men in prisons will tell you it was because they didn't have a relationship with their dad. It all stems from the family. And you can see why the enemy has attacked the family. On this next slide, I want you to look at this number. It's kind of interesting. I spoke in a church down in Moscow, Idaho about 4 years ago. It held about 2,400 people. There were about 200 people in the church. I know the pastor's dream that one day he would fill that church. My dream is that one day my generation will fill that church. If my 5 children have 4 children, and those 4 have 4 children, and the next 3 generations have 3. That is 6 generations from now. That will be how many of my descendants I will have. Everybody say, where's your ministry? It's sitting right now under my kitchen table. It's driving down the road with me in my minivan. It's right there. My job is to train and teach those people the fear of the Lord and to pass that legacy in God's ways onto the next generation. I'm going to close with some thoughts on raising teenagers. I love every stage of life, but sometimes they think that this is an extremely difficult time to raise children. I believe that the teen years are exciting. I believe these principles apply not only to teens, but others. So I'm going to use the word teen to remind you. First of all, if you're going to be a great parent, it takes time. The average father spends less than 3 minutes of conversation with his child per day. That's not very much time. We bring these children into the world, we need to give them time. And we have come up with this nice little phrase that says, I'm giving my kids quality time. I'm telling you what, quality time means giving kids time every day, all the time, 24/7. Giving them the time that it needs to know that they have a father that loves them, that cares about them. 2, I believe with the culture that we live in, the world that we live in, the one thing that should happen in your home, more than anything else, your children should say, you know, when I'm at home, that's a place where I'm encouraged. My dad and mom believe in me. They've raised the standard up. They have expectations for me. They're always speaking life into me. You go to the average school, the average place that our teenagers go today, and they are pumped with discouragement. They need to know that God loves them, and more importantly, that you love them, because that's how you demonstrate that God does. The next one, as I've already mentioned it, but I can't mention it enough, I believe what teenagers need more than anything else, they need a dad and mom that will be an example. It will not work unless you live it. It will not work. But as a coach, as a teacher, when I set the standard for my teams, for my classroom, I never asked anybody to do something that I didn't do. It was the same standard, regardless of my age or whatever. If I gave my team curfew, I honored that curfew. If I asked my kids not to talk to officials, I didn't talk to officials. The standard was the same, and it must be. And then the last one, I believe, is we need to teach our children that no is a great word. And your children are weak, especially your daughters. You need to be the one that says no to that boy. You need to be able to say no to the way your daughter is dressing. Oh, they might roll their eyes, but inside they go, thanks, Dad. I know that's what's right. And I think too many parents want to be buddies instead of parents. And I believe that the word no is absent in a lot of people's homes. And children need to know that, and they value that. In closing tonight, what and how do we apply all these parenting principles? I believe, if you haven't heard it yet, the key is establishing family worship in your home. Understand that it is your responsibility to teach your children the ways of God. When I think of family worship, I'm not talking you have to plan out having a church service. I'm talking you need to plan times where this is a time where our family is going to center around worshiping God. That can be done with mom playing the piano, someone playing an instrument, singing songs together as a family, praying together as a family, the reading of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word. We used to have our children go and read a Bible story and then go into the bedroom and then come out and act it out for mom and dad. We wanted to make our family times exciting, something they looked forward to. We wanted to teach our children prayer in the family worship time. That's why our family could go to church and sit in church and be still, because they were taught at home to be still. We used to just do popcorn prayers when they were little. We changed things as their ages were. The greatest challenge in family worship is when you have a 5-year-old and a 14-year-old. One of the greatest tools available is character sketches by Bill Gothard. There's a whole bunch of them out there. People bought them, but they don't use them. They have animals, and they talk about an animal and a character quality, and there's a story there. And I'm telling you, that little 5-year-old will remember that animal and that character quality. Then there's a Bible story that stresses the importance of this character in the Word. I really love that as a tool. It's one that we could use to mix the ages. We love to use the primer, the New England primer. Every young person in America learned to read out of the primer. Every young man and every young girl not only learned to read from the primer, he learned the Westminster's Catechism. He learned the Ten Commandments. He learned what he believed and why he believed it. I used to take the primer and just read it to my children. It taught my children the fear of the Lord. It talked about death. It talked about life. It's a great teaching tool. It worked for our country. It was the foundation that our country was built on. Some of you might be saying to me tonight, Steve, I really haven't had a family worship. Well, go home and begin. Take one night a week and train your family that this night we are going to get together, and the purpose of getting together is to worship God. And begin to build on that. And begin to impart God's Word into your family. I don't know how long God has for me, but I see that time when I am ready to go home to glory, not in a hospital, on a bed with my family around me, and we're all looking up in the corner at a black box. And I got 1 hour to live? You got to be kidding me. But you know, man, when that's all we've done as a family is sit in front of a black box, that's what we'll be doing the last hour of our life. But I want to give you a different picture of your family around you, and you're singing together, and you're praying. And as a father, you get the privilege to bless each one of your children one more time. And you're ushered from that arena into the gates of glory. Can you catch the vision? It's right in your homes. Let's go seize the moment while God gives us the opportunity. God bless you.